in bright gold letters against a starry blue sky. Walt Disney Home Entertainment. Lapping water is reflected against a sheet of greeny-grey metal. A shooting star flies over a fairy castle embossed on the surface. The logo of Walt Disney Pictures. In a single day and night of misfortune, the island of Atlantis disappeared into the depths of the sea. Plato, 360 BC. Clouds hang in a blue sky over a calm and empty ocean. Suddenly, flying machines appear over the horizon, followed by a huge tidal wave. The pilots call out in a strange language. You fool! You've destroyed us all! The wave is gaining! We have to warn Atlantis! Too late! The huge wave catches up with the flying machines. Those that are left fly desperately on. They zoom across sunlit meadows towards a walled city topped with a handsome citadel. A horrified sentry sees the wave approaching. Everyone to the shelters! The terrified citizens flee in all directions. This way, Your Highness! Quickly! Kida, come on! The woman calls her child. Kida, just leave it! There's no time! Suddenly, the glowing crystal hanging about the young woman's neck points upwards and a bright light surrounds her. With shining eyes, she is drawn up into the air, still holding a bracelet, which has slipped from the little girl's wrist. The young woman rises out of reach. Mother! A man with a flowing white beard takes the child in his arms. Close your eyes, Kida. Look away! As the huge wave rears up to engulf them, the dazzling light spins into a shimmering dome which covers the city and slowly sinks into the raging sea. The waters close above it as though it had never existed. Atlantis, the Lost Empire. Washington, D.C., 1914. A young man gives a lecture.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. First off, I'd like to thank this board for taking the time to hear my proposal. Now, we've all heard of the legend of Atlantis, a continent somewhere in the mid-Atlantic that was home to an advanced civilization, possessing technology far beyond our own. That, according to our friend Plato here, was suddenly struck by some cataclysmic event that sank it beneath the sea. Now, some of you may ask, why Atlantis? It's just a myth, isn't it? Pure fantasy. Well, that is where you'd be wrong. 10,000 years before the Egyptians built the pyramids, Atlantis had electricity, advanced medicine, even the power of flight. Impossible, you say. Well, no. No, not for them. Numerous ancient cultures all over the globe agree that Atlantis possessed a power source of some kind, more powerful than steam, than coal, more powerful than our modern internal combustion engines. Gentlemen, I propose that we find Atlantis, find that power source, and bring it back to the surface. Now, this is a page from an illuminated text that describes a book called The Shepherd's Journal, said to have been a first-hand account of Atlantis and its exact whereabouts. Now, based on a centuries-old translation of a Norse text, historians have believed the journal resides in Ireland. But after comparing the text to the runes on this Viking shield, I found that one of the letters had been mistranslated. So, by changing this letter and inserting the correct one, we find that the Shepherd's Journal, the key to Atlantis, lies not in Ireland, gentlemen, but in Iceland. Pause for effect. Gentlemen, I'll take your questions now. Oh, would you gentlemen please excuse me for a moment?
He leans across the blackboard.
Cartography and linguistics, Milo Thatch speaking. Just a sec.
He apologizes to his audience, the contents of the museum storeroom.
Pardon me, Mr. Hickenbottom.
Milo fiddles with the boiler.
How's that? Is that better? You're what? Now, as you can see by this map, that I've drawn, I plotted the route that will take myself and a crew to the southern coast of Iceland to retrieve the journal. Ah, showtime. Well, this is it. I am finally getting out of the dungeon.
Milo picks up a photograph of an old man wearing an explorer's helmet. He recalls himself as a little boy with huge spectacles sitting on his grandfather's knee. The old man places the explorer's helmet on the little boy's head and smiles as it drops down over the little chap's eyes. Milo opens a candlelit cabinet and takes out his grandfather's helmet. He places it reverently on his head. It falls down over his eyes. A message appears in the mouth of an African mask.
Dear Mr. Thatch, this is to inform you that your meeting today has been moved up from 4:30 p.m. to 3:30 p.m.
It's 4:05.
What? Dear Mr. Thatch, due to your absence, the board has voted to reject your proposal. Have a nice weekend, Mr. Harcourt's office. They can't do this to me!
Upstairs.
I swear that your Thatch gets crazier every year.
If I ever hear the word Atlantis again, I'll step in front of a bus.
I'll put you.
Mr. Harcourt.
Good Lord, there he is!
Where was that board? Wait, how did you find us?
The directors scatter.
Into the hills!
Where is the guard when you need him?
Mr. Harcourt, you gotta listen to me, sir!
Milo chases Harcourt.
Sir?
Who rushes out.
Wait! Mr. Harcourt!
And jumps into his car.
Wait, Mr. Harcourt, stop! Sir, could you hold... Look at...
This museum funds scientific expeditions based on facts, not legends and folklore. Besides, we need you here. We depend on you.
You do?
Yes. What with winter coming, that boiler's going to need a lot of attention.
Boiler?
One more time.
Milo runs after the car.
It's a journal. It's in Iceland. I'm sure of it this time.
He jumps on the bonnet.
Sir, I really hoped it wouldn't come to this, but this is a letter of resignation. If you reject my proposal,
Milo falls into the gutter.
Oh, quit!
The car reverses and stops beside him.
I mean it, sir. If you refuse to fund my proposal...
You what? Flush your career down the toilet just like your grandfather? You have a lot of potential, Milo. Don't throw it all away chasing fairy tales.
But I can prove Atlantis exists.
You want to go on an expedition? Here, take a trolley to the Potomac and jump in. Maybe the cold water will clear your head. Fine.
The car drives off, drenching Milo and his letter of resignation. Later.
I'm home. Fluffy, here, kitty.
Lightning reveals a shapely blonde.
Milo James Thatch.
Who are you? How did you get in here?
I came down the chimney. Ho, ho, ho. My name is Helga Sinclair. I'm acting on behalf of my employer, who has a most intriguing proposition for you. Are you interested?
Your employer? Who is your employer?
A limousine passes through a pair of huge iron gates. Milo peers through the heavy rain at the sign Whitmore. The car splashes up a long drive towards a large, forbidding house.
This way, please. And don't drip on the Caravaggio. Step lively. Mr. Whitmore does not like to be kept waiting.
In the lift.
You will address him as Mr. Whitmore or Sir. You will stand unless asked to be seated. Keep your sentences short and to the point. Are we clear? And relax. He doesn't bite. Often.
Milo steps out into a huge library. At once, he spots a portrait of his grandfather.
Grandpa?
Finest explorer I ever met. Preston Whitmore. Pleasure to meet you, Milo.
An old man.
Join me in a little yoga?
No, thank you. Did you really know my grandfather?
Oh, yeah. Middle Thaddeus back at Georgetown. Class of 66. We stayed close friends till the end of his days. Even dragged me along on some of his dang fool expeditions. Thatch was crazy as a fruit bat, he was. Spoke of you often.
Funny, he never mentioned you.
Oh, he wouldn't. He knew how much I liked my privacy.
The old man stands on his head.
I keep a low profile.
Mr. Whitmore, should I be wondering why I'm here?
Look on that table. Ah, it's for you.
It's from my grandfather.
He brought that package to me years ago. He said if anything would have happened to him, I should give it to you when you were ready. Whatever that means.
Milo opens the package.
It can't be. It's the Shepherd's Journal.
Mr. Whitmore, this journal is the key to finding the lost continent of Atlantis.
Atlantis! Wasn't born yesterday, son.
No. Look at this. Coordinates, clues. It's all right here.
Yeah, it looks like gibberish to me.
That's because it's been written in a dialect that no longer exists.
Oh, it's useless.
No, just difficult. I spent my whole life studying dead languages. It's not gibberish to me.
Yeah, it's probably a fake.
Mr. Whitmore, my grandfather would have known if this were a fake. I would know. I will stake everything I own, everything that I believe in, that this is the genuine Shepherd's Journal.
All right. So what do you want to do with it?
Well, I'll get funding. I mean, the museum...
They'll never believe you.
I'll show them. I will make them believe.
Like you did today.
Yes. Well, you know. How did you... Forget about them, okay? Never mind. I will find Atlantis on my own. I mean, if I have to rent a rowboat.
Congratulations, Milo. This is exactly what I wanted to hear.
But forget the rowboat, son.
He presses a button.
We'll travel in style.
A model submarine appears on his desk.
It's all been arranged. The whole ball of wax.
Why?
For years, your granddad bent my ear with stories about that old book. I didn't buy it for a minute. So finally, I got fed up and I made a bet with the old coot. I said, Thatch, if you ever actually find that so-called journal, not only will I finance the expedition, but I'll kiss you full on the mouth. Imagine my embarrassment when he found the darn thing. Now, I know your grandfather's gone, Milo. God rest his soul. But Preston Whitmore is a man who keeps his word. You hear that, Thatch? I'm going to the afterlife with a clear conscience, by thunder!
The old man gazes thoughtfully into the fire.
Your grandpa was a great man. You probably don't realize how great. Those buffoons at the museum dragged him down, made a laughingstock of him. He died a broken man. If I could bring back just one shred of proof, that'd be enough for me. Oh, Thatch. What are we standing around for? We got work to do.
But Mr. Whitmore, you know, in order to do what you're proposing, you're gonna need a crew.
Taken care of.
You'll need engineers and geologists.
Got them all. Best of the best. Gaetan Moliere, geology and excavation. Anna's a nose for dirt. Vincenzo Santorini, demolitions. Busted him out of a Turkish prison. Audrey Ramirez, don't let her age fool you. She's forgotten more about engines than you and I'll ever know. They had the same crew that brought the journal back.
Where was it?
Iceland.
Yeah, I knew it.
All we need now is an expert in gibberish. So, it's decision time. You can build on the foundation your grandfather left you, or you can go back to your boiler room.
This is for real.
Now you're catching on.
All right. Okay, I have to quit my job.
It's done. You resigned this afternoon.
I did?
Yep. Don't like to leave loose ends.
My apartment. I'm going to have to give notice.
Taken care of.
My clothes?
Packed.
My books?
In storage.
My cat? My gosh.
Your granddad had a saying. Our lives are remembered by the gifts we leave our children. This journal is his gift to you, Milo. Atlantis is waiting. What do you say?
I'm your man, Mr. Whitmore. You will not regret this. Boy, I am so excited. I can't even hold it in.
Milo is being sick over the rail of a ship. The vessel plows steadily on.
Carrots. Why is there always carrots? I didn't even eat carrots.
Attention, all hands to the launch bay. To whoever took the L from the motor pool sign, ha-ha, we are all very amused.
Excuse me, I need to report in.
Yes, Mr. Thatch.
It's you.
Blondie, I got a bone to pick with you.
Hold that thought. What is it this time, Cookie?
You done stuffed my wagon full to busting with non-essentials. Look at all this. Cinnamon, oregano, cilantro, whatnot, cockadoodle, cilantro. What is this?
That would be lettuce.
Lettuce?
It's a vegetable, Cookie. The men need the four basic food groups.
I got you four basic food groups. Beans, bacon, whiskey, and lard.
All right, cowboy. Pack it up and move it out.
Attention, all hands to the launch bay. Final loading in progress.
Standing amongst the crew, Milo gulps with surprise as the floor of the loading bay sinks into the bowels of the ship. He spots the explosives expert.
Hey, Junior, if you're looking for the pony rides, they're back there.
Excuse me? You dropped your dynamite. What else have you got in there?
Oh, gunpowder, nitroglycerin, notepads, fuses, wicks, glue, and paper clips, big ones. You know, just the office supplies.
Milo, where you been? I want you to meet Commander Rourke. He led the Iceland team that brought the journal back.
Milo Thatch. Pleasure to meet the grandson of old Thaddeus. See, you got that journal. Nice pictures, but I prefer a good Western myself.
Pretty impressive, eh?
Boy, when you settle a bet, you settle a bet.
Well, your granddad always believed you couldn't put a price on the pursuit of knowledge.
Well, believe me, this will be small change compared to the value of what we're going to learn on this trip.
Yes, this should be enriching for all of us.
Attention all personnel. Launch will commence in 15 minutes.
Mr. Whitmore.
Rourke.
It's time.
Bye, Mr. Whitmore.
Make us proud, boys.
Red ship for dive.
Aye, sir. Red ship for dive.
Lieutenant, take her down.
Diving officer, submerge the ship.
Aye.
Make the depth 150 feet.
Make the depth 150 feet. Dive. 5 degrees down.
The submarine is released. Crossing his fingers behind his back, Mr. Whitmore waves goodbye from the deck of the ship. As the sub sinks under the water, Milo stands beside the circular observation window at the front. Leaning against the glass, he peers excitedly out into the blue ocean. Behind him, the submarine crew move efficiently along the metal gantries and walkways. Milo eventually finds his cabin and stretches out on his bunk.
Attention, tonight's supper will be baked beans, musical program to follow. Who wrote this?
Mole has hidden piles of earth in Milo's bed.
You have disturbed the dirt.
For me.
You have disturbed the dirt! Dirt from around the globe spanning the centuries! What have you done? England must never merge with France!
What's it doing in my bed?
You ask too many questions. Who are you? Who sent you? Speak up!
Me,
I will know soon enough.
Hey, let go!
Let me touch a crybaby. Hold still. There you are. Now tell me your story, my little friend.
Parchment fiber from the Nile Delta, so if I want to be seen.
He analyzes a piece of dirt from Milo's finger.
You have a cat, short hair Persian, 2 years old, third in a litter of seven.
These are all the microscopic fingerprints of the mapmaker. And linguist.
Hey, how
did... This is an outrage! You must leave at once! Out!
Uh-oh. Sat in the dirt, didn't you? Moyer, now what have I told you about playing nice with the other kids? Get back. I've got soap, and I'm not afraid to use it. Back, foul creature! Back to the pit from whence you came! Name's Sweet. Joshua Sweet. Medical officer.
Yeah, Milo Thatch.
Milo Thatch. Give him a 3 o'clock. Well, no time like the present.
Oh, boy.
Nice, isn't it? The catalog says that this little beauty can saw through a femur in 28 seconds. I'm betting I can cut that time in half. Now, stick out your tongue and say ah.
Oh, no, really. I
have So, where you from?
Blah.
Really? I have family up that way. Beautiful country up there. You do any fishing?
Oh.
Me? I hate fishing. I hate fish. Hate the taste, hate the smell, and hate all them little bones. Here, I'm gonna need you to fill these up.
With what?
Will Milo Thatch please report to the bridge?
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Uh-huh, nice meeting you too.
Milo scurries away with relief. The wireless room.
So I says to him, what's wrong with my meatloaf? And he says to me, oh, hold on a second, Margie, I got another call. Sir, we're approaching coordinates. Hello, Margie? Yes, so anyway.
All right, let's have a look around.
Aye, sir, set course to 240. 15 degrees down angle on the bow planes. Come right, 240.
Welcome to the bridge, Mr. Thatch. Okay, everybody. I want you to give Mr. Thatch your undivided attention.
Good afternoon. Can everyone hear me okay?
Audrey blows bubblegum.
Okay, how about some slides? The first slide is a depiction of a creature. A creature so frightening that sailors were said to be driven mad by the mere sight of it.
A holiday snap.
Sorry, that's wrong.
Jeez, I used to take lunch money from guys like this.
Anyway, this is an illustration of the Leviathan, the creature guarding the entrance to Atlantis.
With something like that, I would have white wine, I think.
It's a mythical sea serpent. He's described in the Book of Job. The Bible says, out of his mouth go burning lights, sparks of fire shoot out, but more likely it's a carving or a sculpture to frighten the superstitious.
So we find this masterpiece. Then what?
I'm going to dig.
Actually, we don't have to dig. See, according to the journal, the path to Atlantis will take us down a tunnel at the bottom of the ocean, and we'll come up a curve into an air pocket right here. where we'll find the remnants of an ancient highway that will lead us to Atlantis. Kind of like the grease trap in your sink.
Cartographer, linguist, plumber. Hard to believe he's still single.
You said there would be keeping.
Go away, mole.
Captain, you better come look at this, sir.
Okay, glass this mist. Give me exterior lights.
Powerful spotlights illuminate the ocean floor, littered with the remains of wrecked ships.
Look at that.
There are ships here from every era.
As the submarine passes slowly overhead, a huge lobster-like sea monster glides ominously beneath. Mrs. Packard contacts the bridge.
Commander, I think you should hear this.
Pradesh Tim.
Commander.
Low Tanug.
Commander.
Nagep. Enter the lair of the Leviathan.
Commander.
There you will find the path to the gateway.
Commander.
Yes, Mrs. Packard, what is it?
I'm picking up something on the hydrophone I think you should hear.
Put it on speakers. What is it, a pod of whales?
Uh-uh, bigger.
It sounds metallic. Could be an echo off one of the wrecks.
Do you want to do my job? Be my guest.
Is it just me, or is that getting louder?
Well, whatever it was, it's gone now.
Helmsman, bring us about. Tighten our search pattern and slow it.
The submarine rocks from side to side.
Out of the way!
The monster lashes out again. Audrey clings to a metal rail.
Tell Cookie to melt the butter and bring out the bibs. I want this lobster served up on a silver platter.
Load the torpedo bay, subpod crews, battle stations.
The crew rush to their posts.
Steady, boys. Don't panic.
Huge claws grab the submarine. Milo is thrown against the window.
Jimmy Christmas, it's a machine.
Audrey closes a hatch as water floods in.
Launch subpod.
The subpods, small armed craft, stream out of the submarine and attack the mechanical monster.
Fire!
The monster releases the sub.
We're free. All ahead full.
The sub swerves away as the subpods pursue the monster.
Fire torpedoes!
Fire torpedoes!
A direct hit. The monster fires back. Inside the sub, metal bolts ricochet from wall to wall. Audrey runs to the wireless room.
Get me the bridge!
Sir, it's engineering on four.
Rourke! We took a big hit down here and we're taking on water fast.
I don't want to be around when it hits the boilers.
How much time do we have?
20 minutes if the bulkhead holds. We better make that fly.
You heard the lady. Let's move.
Move! Where? Move where?
Packard, sound the alarm.
And he took his suitcase? Marge, honey, I don't think he's coming back.
Packard!
I have to call you back. No, I'll call you.
The crew race to the escape vehicle.
Move it, people! Sometime today would be nice! Come on, everybody grab a seat and buckle in!
Lieutenant, get us out of here!
The monster rears up again.
Lieutenant!
I'm working on it!
The escape lever is jammed! The monster fires. Helga releases the lever. The escape vehicle shoots free as the submarine explodes. The angry monster lurches after them. Rourke consults Milo.
Where to, Mr. Thatch?
We're looking for a big crevice of some kind.
There, up ahead.
All craft, make your mark 20 degrees down angle.
Roger, 20 degrees down angle.
I'm behind you.
The monster is gaining fast. The subpods follow the escape vehicle towards the opening in the rock face ahead. The monster attacks the subpods, which crash into each other and explode.
It's only a grease trap, it's just like a sink. It's only a grease trap, it's just like a sink!
The escape vehicle zooms into the narrow crevice, followed by the only surviving subpod. Unable to enter the narrow opening, the monster sends flames shooting after them. A crack appears in the subpod's windscreen. Bursting out of the tunnel, the subpod and the escape vehicle break the surface of the water. Vinny lifts the hatch of his subpod. He and Mole gaze around them. The strong beam of a searchlight on the escape vehicle picks out the remains of gigantic ruined buildings sprawled along a sandy beach. Later, the surviving crew gather quietly at the water's edge. Commander Rourke speaks to them as Dr. Sweet sets a small bowl containing a lighted candle floating on the water.
7 hours ago, we started this expedition with 200 of the finest men and women I've ever known. We're all that's left. I won't sugarcoat it, gentlemen. We have a crisis on our hands. But we've been up this particular creek before, and we've always come through, paddle or no paddle. I see no reason to change that policy now. From here on in, everyone pulls double duty. Everyone drives, everyone works. Looks like all our chances for survival rest with you, Mr. Thatch. You and that little book.
We're all gonna die.
Okay, people, saddle up. Lieutenant, I want this convoy moving 5 minutes ago.
Moliere, you're on point. No, Vinny. Audrey's taking the order. You know the rules. I want you 50 yards behind that truck at all times. Packard, put out those cigarettes.
Rourke finds Milo beeping the horn on a truck.
Are you sure you're checked out on this class of vehicle? Can you drive a truck?
Of course I can drive a truck. I mean, sure, you got your steering and your gas and your brake and, of course, this metal, looking thing. Okay, so it was a bumper car at Coney Island, but it's the same basic principle.
Milo's truck leads the convoy, jerking slowly uphill.
Sorry about that. Come on, civilian!
Now he steers with one finger as his truck is towed behind Mole's digging machine. The vehicle headlights pick out huge carved pillars which loom out of the darkness at the side of the road. The convoy of trucks makes steady progress up the paved roadway, which winds steeply through a pine forest and around the mountainside. Reaching a sheer drop, the trucks are lowered by ropes over the edge of the cliff. Following the map drawn in his book, Milo confidently points the way, but a gigantic insect with sharp pincers suddenly blocks the path. Milo turns his book the right way up and points in the opposite direction. Strange creatures rush past through the shadows. Vinny sees Milo drinking from a flask.
You didn't just drink that, did you? Mm-hmm. That's not good. That's nitroglycerin. Don't move. Don't breathe. Don't do anything. Except pray, maybe.
Boom!
Vinny and Mole laugh at their practical joke. As night falls, Dr. Sweet helps his colleagues to climb over a rocky outcrop, but Milo is left to scramble up by himself. While the others gather round a warm campfire, Milo sits alone with a pile of books and a compass, making calculations by the light of a lamp. As they resume their journey, the powerful headlamps of Mole's digging machine light up a massive carved pillar standing on the edge of a ravine. Vinny sets dynamite at the base.
You look at the size of this. It's got to be half a mile high at least. It must have taken thousands of years to carve this thing.
The pillar falls across the ravine.
Hey, look, I made a bridge. It only took me 10 seconds? 11 taps.
Shadowy figures carrying spears spy on the convoy as it journeys across a snowy plateau at the foot of high mountains. His teeth chattering, Milo consults his book, but the road is blocked by a huge wall.
Looks like we have a little roadblock. Vinny, what do you think?
I could unroadblock that if I had about 200 of these. Problem is, I only got about 10, plus, five of my own, and a couple of cherry bombs, road flare. Hey, too bad we don't have some nitroglycerin, eh, Milo?
Looks like we're gonna have to dig.
It will be my pleasure.
Mole starts the engine on his digging machine. The spinning drill at the front starts to bore into the solid wall. Suddenly, it stops.
I don't understand it. I just tuned this thing up this morning. It looks like the rotor shot. I'm gonna have to pull a spare from one of the trucks.
Can I?
No toque nada. I'll be right back.
Audrey stalks off. Milo hits the engine with a spanner.
She lives!
Hey, what'd you do?
Well, you know, the boiler in this baby is a Humac model P-54/A-13. Now, we got the A-14 back at the museum. The heating cores on the whole Humac line have always been a little, you know, temperamental, so sometimes you gotta, boom, persuade them a little.
Yeah, yeah, thank you very much. Shut up.
She punches his arm.
Thank you for flinching.
A glowing green light hangs above a narrow stone bridge.
This is it. It's gotta be.
All right, we'll make camp here.
Why is it glowing?
It is a natural phosphorescence.
That thing is going to keep me up all night. I know it.
Come and get it!
For the appetizer, Caesar salad, escargot, and your oriental spring roll.
I want to say escargot.
Knock yourself out.
There you go, Milo. Put some meat on them bones.
Thanks, Cookie. That looks greasier than usual.
You like it? We'll have some more. You're so skinny if you turn sideways and stick out your tongue, you look like a zipper.
You know, we've been pretty tough on the kid. What do you say we cut him some slack?
Yeah, you're right. Hey, Milo, why don't you come sit with us?
Really? You don't mind?
Nah, park it here.
Gee, this is great. I mean, you know, it's an honor to be included in your...
He sits on a hot water bottle.
Oh!
Forgive me. I could not resist.
Hey, Milo, don't you ever close that book.
Yeah, you must have read it a dozen times by now.
I know, but this doesn't make any sense. See, in this passage here, the shepherd seems to be leading up to something. He calls it the heart of Atlantis. It could be the power source the legends refer to, but then it cuts off. It's almost like there's a missing page.
Kid, relax. We don't get paid overtime.
I know. Sometimes I get a little carried away. But hey, you know, that's what this is all about, right? I mean, discovery, teamwork, adventure. Unless, maybe you're just in it for the money.
Money.
I'm gonna say money.
Well, I guess I set myself up for that one.
Was something wrong with your neck?
Oh, yeah, I must have hurt it when...
Better?
Yeah. Hey, I just learned how to do that.
An Arapahoe medicine man.
Get out of here.
Born and raised with him. My father was an army medic. He settled down in the Kansas Territory after he met my mother.
No kidding.
Nope. I got a sheepskin from Howard U and a bearskin from old Ironcloud. Halfway through medical school, I was drafted. One day, I'm studying gross anatomy in the classroom. The next, I'm sewing up Rough Riders on San Juan Hill.
Main course.
I couldn't eat another bite.
I'm watching my weight.
Oh, don't you worry. It'll keep and keep and keep.
Thank God I lost my sense of taste years ago.
They empty their plates into the fire. Later.
Aren't you going to pitch up your tent?
I did.
Vinny fixes it.
I guess I'm still a little rusty at this. I haven't gone camping since the last time my grandpa took me.
I never got to meet your grandfather. What was he like?
Where do you start? He was like a father to me, really. My parents died when I was a little kid, and he took me in.
What?
I was just thinking. One time when I was 8, we were hiking along this stream, and I saw something shining in the water. It was a genuine arrowhead. Well, you'd think I'd found a lost civilization the way Grandpa carried on about it. It wasn't until I was older that I realized that the arrowhead was just some compressed shale mixed with zinc pyrite that had fractured into an isosceletic triangulate.
That is so cute.
Say, Audrey, no offense, but how did a teenager become the chief mechanic of a multi-million-dollar expedition?
Well, I took this job when my dad retired. But the funny thing was, he always wanted sons, right? One to run his machine shop and the other to be middleweight boxing champion. But he got my sister and me instead.
So, what happened to your sister?
She's 24, I know, with a shot at the title next month. Anyway, I'm saving up so my puppy and I can open another shop.
Forget your jammies, Mrs. Packard?
I sleep in the nude.
You're gonna want a pair of these. She sleepwalks.
An eye mask.
Well, as far as me goes, I just like to blow things up.
Come on, Vinny. Tell the kid the truth.
My family owned a flower shop. We would sell roses, carnations, baby's breath, you name it. One day, I'm making about 3 dozen corsages for this pram. You know, the one they put on their wrist. And everybody, they come. Where is it? When is it? Does it match my dress? It's a nightmare. Anyway, I guess there was this leak next door of gas or what. Boom! No more Chinese laundry.
blew me right through the front window. It was like a sign from a god. I found myself that boom.
Mole burrows into the ground to sleep.
What's Mole's story?
Trust me on this one. You don't want to know. Audrey, don't tell him. You shouldn't have told me, but you did. And now I'm telling you, you don't want to know.
Dr. Sweet blows out the lamp. Strange creatures with hairy blue masks and glowing eyes appear out of the darkness. They search Milo's bag and find a picture of his grandfather. Half asleep, Milo stumbles out of his tent, carrying a trowel and a roll of toilet paper. The creatures dodge out of sight.
Redhead's got a gun.
Cookie stirs as Milo switches on his torch and unbuckles his belt. The torch illuminates the glowing light above. Bright fireflies flutter around Milo's head. His trousers round his knees, he fends them off. The toilet roll catches fire.
Holy wow!
The fireflies set fire to one of the tent ropes.
Fire.
A cloud of fireflies zooms after Milo.
Fire! Fire!
Fire! Rourke wakes.
I'm gonna kill him.
Thatch, go back to bed.
The tents are all ablaze. The vehicles start to move across the narrow bridge. Milo runs to escape an exploding truck. The fireflies swarm across the bridge after them, setting everything they touch alight. A second truck explodes. Wreckage flies in all directions. The fuel truck blows up. The explosion wrecks the bridge.
No.
As the bridge collapses, Mole tries desperately to gain control of the digger, but it slides backwards into the other vehicles and they all fall one after the other into the black void below. Rourke lights a match.
All right, who's not dead? Sound off.
Go ahead.
Dang, lightning bug done bit me on my set upon. Somebody's gonna have to suck out this poison. I don't know if I jump up at once.
Audrey, give me a damage report.
Not as bad as it could have been. We totaled rigs 2 and 7, but the digger looks like it'll still run. Lucky for us, we landed in something soft.
Pumice ash. We are standing at the base of a dormant volcano.
Helga fires a flare.
It just keeps going.
Maybe that's our ticket out of here.
Maybe not.
The magma has solidified in the bowels of the volcano, effectively blocking the exit.
I got the same problem with sauerkraut.
Hold on. Back up. Are you saying this whole volcano can blow at any time?
No. That would take an explosive force of great magnitude.
They look at Vinny, who is making a time bomb.
Maybe I should do this later, huh?
If we could blow the top off of that thing, we'd have a straight shot to the surface. Mr. Thatch, what do you think? Mr. Thatch?
Thatch?
Milo is lying unconscious. He wakes in alarm, surrounded by masked creatures speaking a strange language. In pain, he clutches a wound on his chest. One of the creatures removes its mask, revealing an attractive young woman with white blonde hair. A crystal hangs about her neck. Milo gazes into her wide blue eyes. She touches the cut on his chest. She holds the crystal against the wound. Milo flinches as she lays her hand firmly upon the wound, but the cut is miraculously healed. The young woman smiles at him. She and her companions rush off in alarm as the digger appears. Milo follows them.
Who are you? Where are you going? Come back!
He chases after them, scrambling higher and higher up a rocky mountainside, then stops at the very edge of a cliff.
Hey, wait a minute! Who are you?
Behind Milo, the digger breaks through the rock wall, and the other explorers join him. Dr. Sweet rubs his eyes with amazement. Dwarfed by their surroundings, they gaze at the scene before them. Fluffy white clouds float on a blue and silver ocean, which cascades endlessly over a wide waterfall into more white clouds floating beneath. Cookie blinks with astonishment.
Wait, mother of Jefferson Davis.
It's beautiful.
Milo, I gotta hand it to you. You really came through.
Masked figures appear.
Oh, I take that back.
Holy cats, who are these guys?
They gotta be Atlanteans.
What? That's impossible.
I seen this back in the Dakota. They can smell fear just by looking at you. So keep quiet.
Neshegetim, Gabrin Defenyo. Lebes enachtap duarentop. That's all dubenachtap.
I think it's talking to you.
Lebes enachtap duarentop. That's all dubenachtap.
Leb a senek dap duarentop. Let's all do panic up.
The same young woman removes her mask.
Brawitim Dunganak Machin New Gibletot Bet Kaparekek.
Kag. Wegene. Freed.
Kag Wegene. Wegonos Pridos es Essenen.
Ida Sumomiche Viator.
This is Linguum Romae.
Parlez-vous Francais?
Oui, monsieur.
They speak my language. Pardon, mademoiselle. Voulez-vous.
Mole whispers in her ear.
Ooh, I like her.
About time someone hit him. I'm just sorry it wasn't me.
How do they know all these languages?
Their language must be based on a root dialect. It's just like the Tower of Babel.
Well, maybe English is in there somewhere. We are explorers from the surface world. We come in peace.
Welcome to the city of Atlantis. Come, you must speak with my father now.
Squad B, head back to the shaft and salvage what you can.
Yes, sir.
The rendezvous in 24 hours.
That's what you heard.
Mole claps his hands.
I'm so excited.
Two trucks follow the Atlanteans across a narrow rope bridge. Milo travels with Rourke and Helga in the leading vehicle.
And what's really amazing is that if you deconstructed Latin, you overlaid it with a little Sumerian, throw in a dash of Thessalonian, you'd be getting close to their basic grammatical structure. At least you'd be in the same ballpark.
Someone's having a good time.
Like a kid at Christmas.
Well, obviously, you can
Commander, they were not supposed to be people down here. It changes everything.
This changes nothing.
Bronze Age. Take that, Mr. Harcourt.
Milo leans out of the truck and gazes ahead. Flames flicker through the mist. Ornate ruined buildings seem to grow out of the mountainside. The young woman leads them over lichen-covered stepping stones across a vast pool. She kneels before an ancient white-bearded old man seated under a simple canopy. Greetings, Your Highness. I have brought the visitors. You know the law, Kida. No outsider may see the city and live. Father, these people may be able to help us. We do not need their help. But Father, that is enough. We will discuss this later.
Your Majesty, on behalf of my crew, may I say it is an honor to be welcome to your city.
Excuse me, Commander?
You presume much to think you are welcome here.
Sir, we have come a long way looking for...
I know what you seek, and you will not find it here. Your journey has been in vain.
But we are peaceful explorers, men of science.
And yet you bring weapons.
Our weapons allow us to remove obstacles we may encounter.
Some obstacles cannot be removed with a mere show of force. Return to your people. You must leave Atlantis at once.
Your Majesty, be reasonable.
Sir?
Not now, son.
Trust me on this. We better do as he says.
May I respectfully request that we stay one night, sir? That would give us time to rest, resupply, and be ready to travel by morning.
Very well. One night. That is all.
Well, thank you, Your Majesty.
Kida sighs as the explorers are led away.
A thousand years ago, you would have slain them on sight.
A 1,000 years ago, the streets were lit, and our people did not have to scavenge for food at the edge of a crumbling city.
The people are content.
They do not know any better. We were once a great people, now we live in ruins. The kings of our past would weep if they could see how far we have fallen.
Kedar.
If these outsiders can unlock the secrets of our past, perhaps we can save our future.
What they have to teach us, we have already learned.
Our way of life is dying.
Our way of life is preserved. Kedar, when you take the throne, you will understand.
So how'd it go?
Well, the king and his daughter don't exactly see eye to eye. She seems to like us okay, but the king, I don't know, I think he's hiding something.
Well, if he's hiding something, I want to know what it is.
Someone needs to talk to that girl.
I will go.
Someone with good people skills.
I will do it.
Someone who won't scare her away.
I volunteer.
Someone who can speak the language.
For the good of the mission, I will go.
Good man, Thatch. Thanks for volunteering.
Go get him, Fighter.
Kedar comes out of the palace. Milo is rehearsing his speech behind a rock.
Okay, Milo, don't take no for an answer. Look, I have some questions for you, and I'm not leaving the city until they're answered. Yeah, that's it. That's good. That's good.
Kedar has disappeared. She creeps up behind Milo and puts her hand over his mouth.
I have some questions for you, and you are not leaving this city until they are answered.
Okay.
Shh. Come with me.
She leads him along a ledge behind a waterfall and down into some overgrown ruins.
Oh, there is so much to ask about your world. You are a scholar, are you not? Judging from your diminished physique and large forehead, you are suited for nothing else. What is your country of origin? When did the floodwaters recede?
Wait a minute. I got a few questions for you, too. So let's do this, okay? You ask one, then I'll ask one, then you, then me, then, well, you get it.
Very well. What is your first question?
Well, okay, how did you get here? Well, I mean, not you personally, but your culture. I mean, how did all of this end up down here?
It is said that the gods became jealous of Atlantis. They sent a great cataclysm and banished us here. All I can remember is the sky going dark and people shouting and running. Then, a bright light, like a star, floating above the city. My father said it called my mother to it. I never saw her again.
I'm sorry. If it's any consolation, I know how you feel because I lost my... Wait a minute. Whoa, back up. What are you telling me? Do you remember because you were there? No, that's impossible because, I mean, that would make you, 85, 88, 100 years old.
Yes.
Oh, well, hey, looking good. You have another question for me?
Yes. How is it you found your way to this place?
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't easy. If it weren't for this book, we never would have made it.
She snatches it.
Okay, second question. Legend has it that your people possessed a power source of some kind.
You can understand this?
Yes, I'm a linguist. That's what I do. That's my job. Now, getting back to my question.
This, right here. You can read this.
Yes, I can read Atlantean, just like you. You can't, can you?
No one can. Such knowledge has been lost to us since the time of the Mebermok.
Oh, the Great Flood.
Show me.
Okay, Lewig tem shibun puk ben tem digamil
satibius. Follow the narrow passage for another lead. There you will find the fifth marker.
Yeah, that's it. How is my accent?
Boorish, provincial, and you speak it through your nose.
Yeah, gotta work on that.
Here, let me show you something.
Uncovering something shaped like a fish.
What? It looks like some sort of vehicle.
Yes, but no matter what I try, it will not respond. Perhaps if...
Way ahead of you. Okay, let's see what we got here. Okay. Place crystal into slot.
Yes, I have done that.
Gently place your hand on the inscription pad.
Yes.
Okay, did you turn the crystal 1/4 turn back?
Yes.
While your hand was on the inscription pad?
Yeah. No.
Well, see, there's your problem right there. That's an easy thing to miss. You know, you deserve credit for even getting this far. Okay, I'll give it a try.
Touching the glowing instruction pad, he turns the crystal. The vehicle rises into the air.
Yeah, you got that right. Oh, see, this is great. With this thing, I can see the whole city in no time at all. Wonder how fast it goes.
He touches the pad. The vehicle ricochets around the clearing and crashes into a pile of rocks.
So, Who's hungry?
By the way, we were never properly introduced. My name's Milo.
My name is Kiragakash.
Kiramashnaga. Hey, you got a nickname?
Kida.
Okay, Kida. I can remember that.
Kida holds out her hand and helps Milo to clamber to the top of a huge stone statue. They stand together looking out across a vast ocean. Large birds fly over the ruins of huge buildings rising from the surface of the water. Milo sighs deeply and takes off his glasses. He rubs his eyes.
What is wrong?
Oh, it's nothing. I just got something in my eye. You know, my grandpa used to tell me stories about this place as far back as I can remember. I just wish he could be standing here with me.
On the half-ruined jetty, fishermen haul in their pots. They throw Milo a lobster. Kida kills it with one bite and pops it into his bag.
Tell me more about your companions. Your physician, he is called Cookie?
No, that's Sweet.
What is?
The doctor. He's Sweet.
Oh, he's Kindly.
No, that's his name.
His name is Kindly?
No, Sweet. Wait, he's Kindly, too.
So all of your doctors are Sweet and Kindly?
No, well, I'm sure some are. Ours is, but that's not a requirement. You're missing the point.
You are confusing me. Wow, look at all those tattoos.
Shoot, that ain't nothing. Look here what I got. All 38 in the United States. Watch me make Rhode Island dance. Go on, baby, dance. Dang.
Cookie shows off his tattooed stomach. Two small children run to a brightly lit building. Kida, Milo, and the crew are welcomed in to share a meal.
Okay. Cookies are Sweet, but yours is not. Sweet is Kindly, but that is not his name. Audrey is Sweet, but she is not your doctor. And the little digging animal called Mole, he is your pet?
Close enough.
They eat shellfish.
Oh, don't forget to eat the hair. That's where all the nutrients are.
Mole burps. Shadowy, helmeted figures open a wooden crate. Wearing gas masks, they unpack rifles. Milo catches fireflies on the shore.
You know, Kida, the most we ever hoped to find was some crumbling buildings, maybe some broken pottery. Instead, we find a living, thriving society. These guys are kind of cute when they're not, you know, formed into a fiery column of death.
We are not thriving. True, our people live, but our culture is dying. We are like a stone the ocean beats against. With each passing year, a little more of us is worn away.
I wish there was something I could do.
I have brought you to this place to ask you for your help. There is a mural here with writing all around the pictures.
Yeah, well, you came to the right guy. Okay, let me see. Let's start with this column right here. Kida?
She has stripped to a bikini.
What are you doing?
You do swim, do you not?
Oh, I swim pretty girl. Pretty good. Good, swim good, pretty good. I swim pretty good.
Good. It is a fair distance to where we are going.
You are talking to the belly flop champ, Camp Runamon.
His shorts fill with water.
Come on, we're wasting time.
He dives under, then resurfaces.
Why don't you lead the way, because I have no idea where we're going.
Kida takes a deep breath and dives, closely followed by Milo. The way ahead is lit up by a bright glow from the crystal hanging around Kida's neck. Swimming strongly, Milo follows her till she surfaces in an underwater cave.
Are you all right?
Well, I didn't drown, so...
Good. Follow me.
Milo dives after her. By the light of Kida's crystal, he sees a silvery star laid out in mosaic. The whole mural is surrounded by writing. They rise to the surface again.
A complete history of Atlantis. It's just like Plato described it. Well, you know, he was off on a few details.
The light I saw, the star in the middle of the city. What does the writing say about that?
I don't know yet, but we're gonna find out. Come on.
Back underwater, they explore the mosaic and find two huge figures in the design. They follow the direction of an outstretched arm. Swimming past pictures of ships and fighting soldiers, they reach a much larger, more glittering star. Kida holds up the crystal so that Milo can see the writing more clearly. Images of kings stand around the star, each connected to it by a ray of light, which touches something hanging about their necks. Excitedly, Milo points to Kida's crystal.
The heart of Atlantis.
What?
It's the heart of Atlantis. That's what the shepherd was talking about. It wasn't a star, it was some kind of crystal. Like these. Don't you get it? The power source I've been looking for, the bright light you remember, they're the same thing.
It cannot be.
It's what's keeping all of these things, you, all of Atlantis, alive.
Then where is it now?
I don't know. You'd think something as important would have been in the journal, but unless the missing page.
Milo reaches the shore.
You have a nice swim?
Rourke and his crew are armed.
Hey, guys. What's going on? What's with all the guns? Guys?
Mole leers at him.
I'm such an idiot. This is just another treasure hunt for you. You're after the crystal.
Oh, you mean this?
The missing page.
The heart of Atlantis.
Yeah, about that. I would have told you sooner, but it was strictly on a need-to-know basis. And, well, now you know. I had to be sure you were one of us. Welcome to the club, son.
I'm no mercenary.
Kida is dragged from the water. She fights back, drawing a knife. Rourke shoots the knife from her hand. His thugs grab Kida.
Mercenary? I prefer the term adventure capitalist. Besides, you're the one who got us here. You led us right to the treasure chest.
You don't know what you're tampering with, Rourke.
What's to know? It's big, it's shiny, it's gonna make us all rich.
You think it's some kind of a diamond. I thought it was some kind of a battery, but we're both wrong. It's their life force. That crystal is the only thing keeping these people alive. You take that away and they'll die.
Well, that changes things. Helga, what do you think?
Knowing that, I'd double the price.
I was thinking triple.
Rourke, don't do this.
Academics, you never want to get your hands dirty. Think about it. If you gave back every stolen artifact from a museum, you'd be left with an empty building. We're just providing a necessary service to the archaeological community.
Not interested.
I gotta admit, I'm disappointed. You're an idealist, just like your grandfather. Do yourself a favor, Milo. Don't be like him. For once, do the smart thing.
Milo glares at him stubbornly.
I really hate it when negotiations go sour.
A gun is held to Kida's head.
Let's try this again.
Vinny blows open the door to the palace.
Knock, knock.
Room service!
Tell them to drop their weapons. Now!
If kill you, huh?
The king gives the order.
Turn out! Search everywhere!
You're not applying yourself, son. There's got to be something else.
Well, there isn't. It just says the heart of Atlantis lies in the eyes of her king.
Well, then maybe old King Cole here can help us fill in the blanks. How about it, Chief? Where's the crystal chamber?
You will destroy yourselves.
Maybe I'm not being clear.
He knocks the king down.
Mohit Gwenoglunik.
Rourke, this was not a part of the plan.
Plans changed, Doc. I'd suggest you put a bandage on that bleeding heart of yours. It doesn't suit a mercenary. Well, as usual, diplomacy has failed us. Now, I'm going to count to 10, and you're going to tell me where the crystal is. 1, 2, 9, 10.
The symbol of Atlantis is reflected in the old king's eyes and formed by the stones on the surface of the pool.
The heart of Atlantis lies in the eyes of her king. This is it. We're in.
Rourke, for the last time, you've got to listen to me. You don't have the slightest idea what this power is capable of.
True, but I can think of a few countries who'd pay anything to find out.
Rourke stands on the symbol.
Hurry, get off.
He grabs Milo. Helga pushes Kida after him. The symbol carries them downwards, sinking below the surface of the pool. They are standing on top of a carved pillar of rock, which gradually lowers them into a huge cave beneath the water. Rourke smiles with triumph as they reach ground level.
Jackpot.
High above their heads, a bright shimmering light is surrounded by huge carved masks. A tear rolls down Kida's face.
The kings of our past.
She falls to her knees.
Thatch, tell her to wrap it up. We got a schedule to meet.
Milo kneels beside Kida and gently touches her shoulder.
Kida, I'm sorry.
Rourke kicks a pebble into the pool beneath the slowly turning masks. The light glows red and flames shoot out in all directions.
Come on, let's get this over with. I don't like this place.
All right, Thatch, what's next?
Okay, there's a giant crystal hovering 150 feet above our heads over a bottomless pit of water.
Kida's crystal rises.
Mother.
Her eyes glow.
I don't know how to move it. I don't even know what's holding it up there.
The crystal around Kida's neck draws her on. Rourke stops Milo from following.
Talk to me, Thatch. What's happening?
Look, all it says here is that the crystal is alive somehow. I don't know how to explain it. It's their deity. It's their power source.
Speak English, Professor.
They're a part of it. It's a part of them. I'm doing the best I can here.
Well, do better.
Well, I know. Why don't you translate? And I'll wave the gun around.
Kida speaks. All will be well, Milo Thatch. Be not afraid.
What did she say?
I don't know. I didn't catch it.
Milo watches with horror as the crystal around Kida's neck leads her towards the bottomless pool. She steps into it, but instead of sinking, she walks slowly and steadily upon the surface of the water. Shining from the eyes of the masks of the kings, beams of blue light move with her, drawing her on as if in a trance, until she is directly below the huge pulsating crystal. Her eyes still glowing, she looks up into its shimmering heart. Milo gasps as the beams of blue light converge around Kida. A shock runs through her whole body. Kida's eyes close and she leans back as if hypnotized. Supported by the pillar of light, her white blonde hair flowing around her, she is gently lifted higher and higher, up into the very center of the powerful energy source. Milo, Rourke and Helga stand below at the edge of the pool and gaze up as Kida's body slowly turns, suspended in the middle of the circle of light. The masks of the kings start to spin around the crystal with great speed. Helga shields her eyes from the dazzling brightness. The masks gradually stop spinning as the energy from the crystal becomes first a slim diamond and is then absorbed into the shape of Kida's body. She turns slowly. She is almost translucent. A perfect crystalline replica of herself, shining like glass. Sparks of energy surround the transformed Kida. Rourke and Helga watch, open-mouthed. Her arms outstretched, Kida floats slowly downwards. Milo blinks with amazement. As Kida stands again on the surface of the water, Milo takes a step towards her.
Hold your horses, lover boy.
Kida.
Her eyes are blank.
Kida.
One by one, the masks fall into the water around her. The transformed Kida walks across the pool. As she reaches the edge, Rourke puts out a hand.
No, don't. Don't touch her.
Later, still shimmering, Kida is locked into a metal container. Audrey tightens the nuts. Milo steps forward as the container is hoisted onto a truck.
Sergeant, keep those people back.
You heard him. Step back.
So, I guess this is how it ends, huh? Fine. You win. You're wiping out an entire civilization, but hey, you'll be rich. Congratulations, Audrey. Guess you and your dad will be able to open up that second garage after all. And Vinny, you can start a whole chain of flower shops. I'm sure your family's gonna be very proud.
But that's what it's all about, right? Money.
Get off your soapbox, Thatch. You've read Darwin. It's called natural selection. We're just helping it along.
Commander, we're ready.
Yeah, give me a minute. I know I'm forgetting something. I got the cargo, the crystal crew. Oh, yeah.
He punches Milo.
Look at it this way, son. You were the man who discovered Atlantis, and now you're part of the exhibit.
Milo takes the photograph of his grandfather from its broken frame.
Let's move, people.
That was an order, not a suggestion. Let's go!
Sitting in the cab of the truck, Audrey gives a deep sigh. She kicks open the door and climbs out. With a determined look on her face, Audrey marches to Milo, helps him to his feet, and stands beside him. She glares defiantly at Vinny, who joins her, putting his arm around Milo's shoulders. Cookie climbs out of his vehicle. Mrs. Packard takes a deep drag on her cigarette. Cookie and Mole join Milo.
We're all gonna die.
Mrs. Packard joins them.
Oh, you can't be serious.
This is wrong and you know it.
We're this close to our biggest payday ever and you pick now of all times to grow a conscience?
We've done a lot of things we're not proud of. Robbing graves, plundering the tombs, double parking. But nobody got hurt. Well, maybe somebody got hurt, but nobody we knew.
If that's the way you want it, fine. More for me. P.T. Barnum was right.
Rourke and Helga drive off with the remaining crew. As the trucks carry the glowing container away across the rope bridge, Milo sees the light fading from the crystals worn around the necks of the Atlanteans.
We can't let him do this!
Wait a second.
Vinny stops him. Rourke presses a detonator. The bridge explodes and collapses behind the trucks.
Okay, now you can go.
Dr. Sweet is sitting beside the king.
How's he doing?
Not good, I'm afraid. Internal bleeding. There's nothing more I can do.
What a nightmare. And I brought it here.
Ah, don't go beating yourself up. He's been after that crystal since Iceland.
The crystal? Sweet, that's it. These crystals, they have some sort of healing energy. I've seen it work.
No. Where is my daughter?
Well, she...
She has been chosen, like her mother before her.
What?
In times of danger, the crystal would choose a host, one of royal blood, to protect itself and its people. It will accept no other.
Wait a minute. Choose? So this thing is alive?
In a way. The crystal thrives on the collective emotions of all who came before us. In return, it provides power, longevity, protection. As it grew, it developed a consciousness of its own. In my arrogance, I sought to use it as a weapon of war, but its power proved too great to control. It overwhelmed us and led to our destruction.
That's why you hid it beneath the city, to keep history from repeating itself.
And to prevent Kida from suffering the same fate as my beloved wife.
What do you mean? What's gonna happen to Kida?
If she remains bonded to the crystal, she could be lost to it forever. The love of my daughter is all I have left. My burden would have become hers when the time was right. But now, it falls to you.
Me?
Return the crystal. Save Atlantis. Save my daughter.
He presses his crystal into Milo's hand. As the king dies, his guards kneel beside the bed, their heads bowed. Dr. Sweet puts away his stethoscope and picks up his bag.
So, What's it gonna be?
Excuse me?
I followed you in, and I'll follow you out. It's your decision.
Oh, my decision. Well, I think we've seen how effective my decisions have been. Let's recap. I lead a band of plundering vandals to the greatest archaeological find in recorded history, thus enabling the kidnap and or murder of the royal family. Not to mention personally delivering the most powerful force known to man in the hands of a mercenary nutcase who's probably gonna sell it to the Kaiser! Have I left anything out?
Well, you did set the camp on fire and drop us down that big hole.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Milo sits, his shoulders hunched.
Of course, it's been my experience. When you hit bottom, the only place left to go is up.
Who told you that?
A fellow by the name of Thaddeus Thatch.
Milo looks at the King's Crystal. He passes Audrey and the others.
Where are you going?
I'm going after Rourke.
Milo, that's crazy.
I didn't say it was the smart thing, but it is the right thing.
Come on, we better make sure he doesn't hurt himself.
Milo finds a fish vehicle.
Milo, what do you think you're doing?
Just follow my lead.
He inserts the crystal.
Wow, I'm impressed.
It's simple. All you gotta do...
Yeah, shut up. We get it, okay?
No, wait!
The vehicle shoots backwards.
Gently. Just gently.
Hey, Milo, you got something sporty? You know, like a tuna?
How is this done?
All you gotta do is use the crystals. Kida showed me.
Milo demonstrates.
Half turn right, quarter turn back. Keep your hand on the pad.
Paddle up, partner. Bring jerky and ammo.
Cookie presses a starter pad.
I'm so excited.
Mole zooms off.
All right, this is it. We're gonna rescue the princess. We're gonna save Atlantis. Or we're gonna die trying. Now let's do it!
The citizens cheer. Joined by the young Atlantean warriors, Milo and his colleagues fly off in the fish vehicles. Back in the volcano, Rourke's men blow open the obstruction at the top of the shaft. A hole appears.
I love it when I win.
Milo leads his flying army across the ocean and into an opening on the side of the volcano. At the bottom of the shaft, Rourke's men release a huge red balloon. Helga watches the balloon inflate.
Okay, here's the plan. We're gonna come in low and fast and take them by surprise.
Well, I've got news for you, Milo. Rourke is never surprised and he's got a lot of guns.
Great! Well, do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, don't get shot!
Ahead of them, the container with Kida inside is fastened below the hovering balloon.
There they are!
We've got company!
Rourke hastily climbs a ladder. Some of Rourke's men shoot at the fish vehicles, others launch small aircraft from a truck. Rourke gives an order.
Take her up!
The balloon begins to rise. A shot from a bazooka just misses Milo.
You told me he only had guns!
What I said was he's never surprised!
Dodging machine gun bullets, Vinny finds a weapon pad on his vehicle and fires at an ammunition truck. He smiles.
Okay, now things are getting good.
Vinny, heads up! We can't let him reach the top of that shaft!
The aircraft protect the balloon. A second ammunition truck explodes. Milo flies alongside Audrey and Sweet.
Vinny, new plan. You and me, we're gonna be decoys. Audrey, Sweet, fly up underneath that thing and cut her loose.
We're on it.
Rourke sees them coming.
Lieutenant!
As Vinny and Milo draw Helga's fire, Sweet holds the container steady while Audrey soars at the chains.
I thought you said this thing could cut through a femur in 28 seconds!
Less talk, more saw!
Desperately, Rourke fires a bazooka. Vinny shoots it from his hand. Helga runs out of bullets.
Looks like somebody's working overtime.
A fuel tank falls towards Audrey.
Come on, girl, time's up.
Sweet pulls her away.
All right, Milo, this is it. Any last words? Yeah, I really wish I had a better idea than this.
Milo heads his vehicle straight at the balloon and grabs one of the roofs.
We're losing altitude. Lighten the load.
The second fuel tank.
That's it, unless someone wants to jump.
Ladies first.
No!
He slings her over the side. She swings back and attacks him.
You said we were in this together! You promised me a percentage!
Next time, get it in writing.
She hurtles down.
Nothing personal!
Milo swings towards Rourke. They both fall. Grabbing the rope, they slide onto a platform above the spinning propeller blades.
Well, I have to hand it to you. You're a bigger pain in the neck than I would have ever thought possible.
Rourke punches Milo.
I consider myself an even-tempered man. It takes a lot to get under my skin. But congratulations, you just won the solid gold Cupid doll.
Falling from the platform, Milo grabs the chains holding the container. Lying injured at the bottom of the shaft, Helga shoots a flare.
Nothing personal.
The balloon ignites. Rourke swings an axe at Milo. It shatters a window on Keeda's container.
Tired, Mr. Thatch? That's a darn shame. Because I'm just getting warmed up.
Milo cuts him with a piece of the glowing glass. Rourke's arm turns blue. The color spreads throughout his whole body. His mouth glows red. Under the spinning propeller blades, Milo looks down at the transformed Rourke and sighs with relief.
Thank heaven.
Rourke revives and climbs up towards Milo. His crystalline body is hit by the propeller blades and shatters into pieces. Chains give way. Milo and the container hit the ground.
Oh, wait.
Debris smashes onto the volcano floor. As Milo's friends join him, molten lava squeezes through the cracks. Mole looks around in horror.
The volcano! She awakes!
Hey, I had nothing to do with it.
This here'd be a good place not to be.
No, wait, we gotta get her back or the whole city'll die!
And if we don't get out of here, we'll die!
It's the only way to reverse this! Just do it!
They fix a hook to the container and start up the fish vehicles. The hook gives way. Milo jumps off the vehicle.
Milo, no!
Dodging red-hot rocks, he fastens the chain more securely.
Go!
He clings precariously onto the container. The fish vehicle swings wildly from side to side. They zoom through the burning tunnels in the heart of the volcano. As they reach the open air, the molten lava floods out, submerging Mole's digging machine. They arrive back in the city. The citizens run down the steps towards them as the container is lowered onto a circular stone platform. Milo grabs a spear to open the container.
It is about to eject its fellow plastic fury!
Milo, Mole says the wall's gonna blow!
The container bursts open and Milo shields his eyes from the glare. Keeda stands upright, glowing with energy, which starts to spread like a blue light out through the stones at her feet and up into the ruined buildings standing around the center of the city, restoring them to their former grandeur. The crystal's energy runs down through the carvings on the rock walls of the underground cave below the palace and into the bottomless pool. The great masks of the kings glow brightly and rise from the surface of the water. They burst upwards through the ground and surround Keeda, who is lifted with them into the air. The masks revolve around her faster and faster. She spreads her arms wide, sending out a powerful shaft of light. The beam strikes a stone pediment, which rises slowly from the water, revealing the head and body of a gigantic stone figure. It towers above the city, casting a huge shadow over the watching citizens. The crystal's energy revives more stone figures, which slowly rise from beneath the water and under the ground, throwing off the trees and roots which have covered them for centuries. Mrs. Packard takes a photograph. Red-hot lava bursts out from crevices in the mountainside. The huge stone figures with glowing eyes, guardians of Atlantis, move ponderously to stand above the city. They clap their hands together, creating a protective force field. Burning rocks shower down harmlessly onto the shimmering dome, which now shields Atlantis from the exploding volcano. Milo looks up in relief and amazement as the molten lava flows around and over the dome above his head. The red-hot lava hardens immediately into a grey crust, concealing the entire city. The crystal power breaks through the surface. Cracks appear in the solid lava. Breaking into millions of pieces, it falls away into the ocean surrounding the city. Sparks of energy flash from the stone guardians, who stand with their arms outstretched above Atlantis, now safe from the threat of the volcano. As the force field disperses and the dust clears, Milo looks up into the sky. Appearing from the turbulent clouds above his head, Kida floats slowly down a beam of light, her eyes still closed, as if in a trance. As she nears the ground, Milo catches her safely. The light beam disappears and she emerges from her trance. As Milo looks anxiously into her face, Kida opens wide her blue eyes and gazes up at him.
Milo.
She smiles, then uncurls her hand. She's holding the bracelet, which slipped from her wrist when her mother was chosen by the crystal years before. Holding back tears, Kida throws her arms around Milo's neck. He holds her close for a moment, then turns her round. Her eyes shine with delight as she sees the restored buildings of the city of Atlantis spread out in front of her. Milo's friends join them, and they gaze out over the beautiful city, at the handsome buildings reclaimed from the ruins, once more rising above magnificent lakes and waterfalls. Kida takes Milo's hand, his fingers curled tightly around hers. Kida gives each of Milo's friends a crystal.
Atlantis will honor your names forever. I only wish there was more we could do for you.
Thanks anyway, but I think we're good.
They'll take you as far as the surface.
We're really gonna miss you, Milo.
You know, I'm gonna reopen the flower shop, and I'm gonna think of you guys every single day, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, Saturday till 2. Sunday, I'm gonna take Sunday off, probably, and maybe I'll go in for a couple hours and go. But August, I'm gonna take August.
I ain't so good at speechifying, but I want you to have this. It's the bacon grease from the whole trip.
Cookie.
Audrey kisses Milo.
Ah, two for flinching. See ya, Milo.
Milo!
Mo! Wow, hey, well, goodbye, Mo.
Are you sure you want to stay? There's a hero's welcome waiting for the man who discovered Atlantis.
I don't think the world needs another hero. Besides, I hear there's an opening down here for an expert in gibberish.
You take good care of yourself, Milo Thatch.
Yeah. You too, sweet.
Come here.
Sweet, before you go, could you...
No problem.
Twisting Milo's neck.
Thanks.
Oh, you're getting a bill.
Can we go home now?
Come on, y'all. Let's get one last shot in front of the fish.
Sitting on a pile of treasure.
Say yuck!
Yuck!
Richly dressed, they rehearse their story in Whitmore's mansion.
Now, let's go over it again, just so we got it straight. You didn't find anything?
Nope. Just a lot of rocks. Fish, little fish, sponges.
What happened to Helga?
Well, after when a flaming zeppelin come down on it. Missing?
That's right. And Rourke?
Nervous breakdown. You could say he went all to pieces.
In fact, you could say he was transmogrified and then busted into a zillion. He's missing, too.
What about Milo?
Went down with the sub.
Mole burrows into a plant pot.
Lord, give me strength.
I'm gonna miss that boy. At least he's in a better place now.
Mr. Whitmore opens a package. A photograph of Milo and his grandfather is wrapped around a crystal.
Dear Mr. Whitmore, I hope this piece of proof is enough for you. Sure convinced me. Thanks. From both of us. Milo Thatch.
Delighted, Mr. Whitmore hangs the crystal about his neck. Back in Atlantis, Princess Kida kisses her crystal, then touches it to a huge mask representing her father. Absorbing the crystal's energy, the mask begins to glow. Reverently, the citizens watch as it rises slowly into the air. Kida grabs Milo by the hand, and he follows her as she climbs up the side of a huge carved stone statue. A flock of bright green birds wheels away as they reach the top. They stand together and watch the mask as it rises up above their heads and joins the other masks of the kings, slowly circling the powerful crystal source of the energy of Atlantis. Below them, fish vehicles fly freely around the city, zooming above the buildings and low over the surface of the water. And in the far distance stand the huge stone guardians, their arms outstretched, ready to protect the safety of the city. Atlantis, the Lost Empire. The audio description of this film was written by Di Langford, read by Joan Walker, and recorded by Sue Malpass. Directed by Gary Truesdale and Kirk Wise. Produced by Don Hahn. Screenplay by Tab Murphy. Story by Kirk Wise and Gary Truesdale. Joss Whedon, Bryce Zabel and Jackie Zabel. Tab Murphy. Original score composed by James Newton Howard. Associate producer, Kendra Harland. Art director, David Gertz. Artistic coordinator, Christopher Jenkins. Editor, Ellen Canisia. Artistic supervisors. Story layout, John Sanford, Ed Gertner. Background, cleanup, Lisa Keane, Marshall Toomey. Production manager, Igor Kate. Manager, digital production, Amy Scribner. CAPS supervisors. Scene planning, Thomas Baker. Animation check, Barbara Wiles. 2D animation processing, Robin L. Roberts. Color models, Karen Camella. Paint, final check, Hortensia M. Cassegrain. Compositing digital file services, James J.R. Russell. Digital film print, Brandy Hill. Technical coordinator, Anne Tucker. Paris artistic supervisors. Background, Joaquim Royo Morales. Visual effects supervising animator, Terry Chaffouin. Production design, Mike Mignola, Matt Codd, Ricardo Delgado, Jim E. Martin. Character design, visual development, Gene Gilmore, Michael Sedeno, Rick Markey, Marcelo Vignali, Lisa Keane, Rob Ruppel, Anne-Marie Bardwell, Matsune Suzuki. Story, Kevin Harkey, Chris Yeo, Todd Kurosawa, Kelly Whiteman, Dean DeBlois. Additional screenplay material by David Reynolds. Character animation, Milo. Supervising animator, John Pomeroy. Voice, Michael J. Fox. Animators, Joe Haydar, Oliver Thomas, Bill Waldman, Ralph Palmer, Jay Jackson, Stephen Pierre Gordon, Mario Menjivar, Doug Williams, Doug Crone, Rob Pratt, Larry White, Dave Burgess. Rourke. Supervising animator, Mike Surrey. Voice, James Garner. Animators, Danny Galieto, Mark Cotsier, Chris Wall. Princess Kida. Supervising animator, Randy Haycock. Voice, Cree Summer. Animators, Richard Hopp, David Moses Pimentel, David Bertier, Christophe Vernier, Andrea Simonti. Vinny. Supervising animator, Ross Edmonds. Voice, Don Novello. Dr. Sweet. Supervising animator, Ron Husband. Voice, Phil Morris. Helga. Supervising animator, Yoshimichi Tamura. Voice, Claudia Christian. Animators, Marco Allard, Juanjo Harnido. Audrey. Supervising animator, Anne-Marie Bardwell. Voice, Jacqueline Obradors. Mrs. Packard, Mr. Harcourt. Supervising animator, Dave Proxma. Mrs. Packard voice, Florence Stanley. Mr. Harcourt voice, David Ogden Steers. Animator, Mike Dizer. Preston Whitmore, Cookie. Supervising animator, Sean Keller. Preston Whitmore voice, John Mahoney. Cookie voice, Jim Varney. Moliere. Supervising animator, Anthony DeRosa. Voice, Corey Burton. Atlantean King. Supervising animator, Michael Sedano. Voice, Leonard Nimoy. Leviathan. Supervising animator, Mike Mo Morell. Animators, J.N. Davis, Ryan Wesley Green. Assistant animator, Daryl Johnson. Miscellaneous. Animators, Georges Abolin, Chris Sauve, Bill Racinus. Character sculptures, Kent Melton, Raffaello Vecchione. Digital production, model development, supervisor, Bruce D. Buckley. Look development and lighting, supervisor, Marcus Hobbs. Production software, supervisor, Robert Rosenblum. Visual effects animation, visual effects animators, John Armstrong, James de V. Mansfield. Etienne Aubert, Alan Blythe, Dan Chaika, Bruce Heller, Ted Kierschi, James Kuo, Dorse A. Lanfer, Dan Lund, Steve Moore, Mark Meyer, Cynthia Neil Gniezek, Masa Oshiro, Mulud Osid, Tonya Ramsey, Matsune Suzuki. Casting by Ruth Lambert, CSA, Mary Hidalgo, Matthew John Beck, Associate. Additional voices, Pat Pinney, Steve Barr. Solo vocalists, Catherine Bott, Liz Constantine, Desislava Stefanova, Sarah Eden. Atlantean language developed by Mark Ockrand. Speech dialect coach, Susan Hegarty. Scene planning. Scene planners. S.J. Blake, Anna Maria Costa, Eric Gervais-Depré, Cynthia Good, Mark A. Henley, Ronald J. Jackson, David J. Link, Scott McCarter, Rafael Vicente. Digital film printing. Camera film recorder operators. John D. Ardle, John Derderian, Jenny Kopenek-Mutsitz. Music. Orchestrations by Brad Dechter, Jeff Atmayan, James Newton Howard, John Cull, Frank Bennett. Electronic score produced by James T. Hill. Score conducted by Peter Anthony. Choir conducted by Nick Ingman. Score recorded and mixed by Sean Murphy. Supervising music editor, Jim Weidman. Music editor, David Olson. Manager of music production, Sean Zarubitsa. Music contractor, Sandy DeCrescent. London vocal contractor, Isabel Griffiths. Choral coordinator, Natural Voices, London, England, Jenny O'Grady. Music preparation, Joanne Kane, Music Service. MYA appears courtesy of A&M Records. David Foster appears courtesy of the Warner Music Group. Technology managers, Manager Media Group, Thomas Moore Jr. Manager Management Applications, Kevin John Hussey. Post-production. Post-production supervisor, Laurie Corngibel. Post-production coordinator, Katie Hooten. Post-production manager, Sue Beer Montgomery. Post-production sound services provided by Skywalker Sound, a division of Lucas Digital Limited, Marin County, California. Sound designer and supervisor, Gary Rydstrom. Re-recording mixers, Gary Rydstrom, Tom Johnson. Original dialogue recordist, Doc Kane. Supervising sound editors, Michael Silvers, John K. Carr. Title design by Brian King. End credit titles by Buena Vista Imaging. Prints by Technicolor. Produced and distributed by Eastman Film. Special thanks to William F. Atwater, PhD, U.S. Army Ordnance Museum. Dale Pate and Jason Richards at the Carlsbad Caverns. Walt Stanchfield. Remembering our friend, Jim Varney. With special thanks to the support staff at Walt Disney Feature Animation, whose tireless efforts made this film possible. This picture, made under the jurisdiction of IATSE, affiliated with AFL-CIO-CLC. Copyright 2001, Disney Enterprises Incorporated. All rights reserved. This motion picture was created by Walt Disney Pictures and Television for purposes of copyright in the United Kingdom. Soundtrack available on cassette and compact disc. From Walt Disney Records. Disney's Atlantis, The Lost Empire. Trial by Fire. Multiplayer CD-ROM game available now. Books available at stores everywhere. Disney Publishing Worldwide. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution. Walt Disney Pictures.